Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. From our epistle lesson, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the Apostle John reminds us, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And later, and also in John, he tells us that when we ask anything according to God's will, he fulfills if we ask in his name according to his will. I think it's no coincidence that, or it's a happy coincidence at the very least, that today our gospel lesson is on the choosing of the 12th apostle, Matthias. Similar situation to what we're in the call process. At this point, I imagine, especially on this morning, that some of you are probably starting to get a little frustrated with the call process, especially after yet another pastor declined the call to serve as Redeemer's senior pastor. You might be asking, isn't there a more efficient way to call a pastor? The answer is yes. There are more efficient ways to get a pastor. Lots of businesses and churches do things differently than the LCMS, and practically all of them are faster. Yet, remember that this isn't just a business or organizational thing. It's also a God thing. That's why we ask for and leave space for the Holy Spirit to guide this process. We shouldn't be in charge of everything, I don't think, because we don't just want our own thoughts or matters, our own spirit, or the spirit of this age to guide us. We are hoping and praying for God's Spirit to lead us, even when we don't always know what he's doing. In our lesson from the book of Acts, we see that Jesus' early followers were in a similar position. They needed another apostle, not a pastor, but an apostle, so they could fill out so that they would have 12. They first narrowed down their list to several qualified candidates. Then they prayed, and then they cast the dice. And they actually expected the Holy Spirit to pick through the toss of that dice the right man. Jesus had quite deliberately called 12 apostles. Jesus had many disciples. In fact, we read in our lesson that he had about 120 followers, but he had handpicked and prepared 12 men to take up his mantle. Well, why 12? The 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus called 12 because he was redefining who God's people were. Israel had been God's people, and the 12 tribes specifically. And so Jesus called 12 apostles. It was both new and classic at the same time. 12 apostles to replace 12 tribes. Still God's people, but gathered now around Jesus' sacrifice and repentance, not around circumcision or the law. The only problem was now there were no longer 12. Judas, one of the 12, had betrayed Jesus and had killed himself. Now, this problem of having 11, not 12, barely registers with modern readers like you and me. That's probably because we sometimes mistakenly take Jesus for some enlightened modern man replacing an old outdated religion with old-fashioned ideas that had outlived their usefulness. And because we kind of have that assumption, we often drastically misunderstand what's going on in the New Testament. The reality is that Jesus came not to delete, but to complete the old covenant. And therefore, after completing, to make space for a new, more expansive blueprint, we might say the blueprint of the gospel for all nations. And yet it was still the same master's plan. Jesus had come to fix a broken Israel, but again, now the problem with Judas out of the picture is that it seems like Israel is broken all over again.
How could this be the new Israel if it was already breaking apart? The disciples must have been asking themselves, if we're supposed to be God's people, a restored and reunited Israel, how come we're losing followers, not gaining them? And so Peter speaks up. He assures the followers that things are not out of control like they feel, even though one of their leaders is missing. God still had a plan. We would do well to remember that this morning. Even though we heard yet another no, we're still missing one of God's leaders for us. God still has a plan. Things have not gotten beyond his control. Nevertheless, Peter, in the Acts reading, agrees that they need a replacement for Judas. Jesus did, after all, come, in fact, to restore Israel. And since 722 BC and the destruction of 10 of the 10 northern tribes, Israel had, in fact, been incomplete. That's why, before that, we often refer to God's people as the Israelites or the Hebrews or the children of Israel. But after that, after 722, the more technical term is simply to call them Jews, because Jews, the word Jew means descended from the tribe of Judah, the one tribe, the one complete tribe that was left after the destruction of the 10 northern tribes. Jesus came, and he said that he was restoring not just the Jews, not just the descendants of Judah, but all of Israel. And therefore, he makes the powerfully symbolic act of calling 12 apostles to replace the 12 tribes. They were the best comparison I can think of is if, let's say, the Civil War had gone differently and the United States had split up, and all of a sudden someone came talking about all 50 states. There would be some powerful symbolism behind that, saying that they were planning on restoring what had once been broken. And that's what Jesus was doing by calling 12 apostles. He was saying God's people were no longer just going to be the tribe of Judah, but he was going to restore all of Israel, Israel that had been splintered for practically a whole millennium. And kind of tying things into us maybe a little, the way that they pick their replacement for Judas is quite revealing, I think. They don't make a decision entirely on their own. It seems as if they certainly do some groundwork. They narrowed down their list, in their case, to two qualified men. And in this case, being qualified meant that they had to have been with Jesus throughout his ministry. And they must have been a witness to his resurrection. So they weren't just looking for a loyal follower or someone who understood what Christianity was about. They wanted someone who had been through the ups and the downs. They wanted someone who had known Jesus and walked with him and followed him before he died, and had seen him and continued to follow him after he died and rose again. They wanted someone, a witness, who could say with confidence, "This man was dead, but I have seen him alive, and he came back to deliver to us a message." Still, although the disciples have narrowed down their list, they also leave the final decision up to God's discretion. They pray, and they cast lots. They've done their due diligence, making sure they have qualified candidates, and they actually expect God to affect the roll of the dice. And God provides for them, and Matthias becomes the replacement for Judas. Once again, they are a restored Israel, back to 12 apostles, and led not just by human decisions, but by the guidance of the Spirit of Christ and the Father. Through our call process, we have put ourselves in a similarly vulnerable position. Most organizations, you probably could agree with me from experience, like to be in control of as much as they possibly can, particularly when hiring a new leader of an organization. But
the LCMS, a congregation can't simply just hire somebody. And going from the other end, neither can pastors just go about looking and applying for new jobs. Nor, for that matter, are pastors simply assigned to places by the Minnesota North District Office or by some bigger, grander national LCMS office. In fact, I think you could characterize the LCMS's call process as there's nobody in control. Well, no human anywhere. There's no single entity that is entirely in control. I think we can testify that we aren't in control. If we were in control, we probably would have had a senior pastor long ago. I know that pastors don't feel in control of the process either, and I think I could guarantee you that the district offices, President Fondo and other district presidents, do not feel entirely in control of the process either. Everyone, from pastors to congregations to district presidents, put themselves in a vulnerable position, surrounded by question marks. We're in the middle of one of those question marks. The whole thing relies on trusting others around us, other members of the church, and also having confidence in the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit enough so that we are willing to roll the dice, if you will. We have our responsibility, certainly, which I'd say probably the most important part is prayer. And then, when we're done with that, when we've done our voting, we trust God's Spirit to do the rest. For over 2 years, we have been in the process of calling a senior pastor, and I can assure you the call committee has been working diligently with the Minnesota North District in trying to come up with qualified and appropriate pastors, and they're looking at things from every angle they can. The Holy Spirit has not yet seen fit to match us up with a senior pastor. Now, this may tempt us to give up on the process, but we have this promise in Scripture, several of which we just read, that when we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's help, and when we give him room to work, guess what? He will go to work. God will provide Redeemer with a senior pastor. Now, that doesn't mean we assume that everything we've done is perfect or that we don't have anything we could work on. That's part of the call process, too, is we have chances to learn and grow and chances for leadership to grow. In fact, I think one thing that I've been learning is that throughout this process and in conversations with the different pastors is that I think we really could improve upon reaching out to our neighbor and loving others, not just in word, but in action, indeed. I think the call process has challenged our leadership a bit, and praying and seeking God's will, we will come out the stronger for it, more prepared to share the gospel and to faithfully be God's people. Because the truth is, we believe in a God who acts. We believe that God acts so much that we are willing to put ourselves in a vulnerable position. We are willing to hear no on multiple occasions and still be willing to trust that God will, in fact, guide and lead us to an appropriate senior pastor. We believe in a Spirit who moves and breathes among us just as he did in that early church. We believe in the living Christ who has promised that he will neither abandon nor forsake us, but that he will continue to shepherd us throughout our life and throughout this process as well. Don't give up hope. God indeed has something greater planned for us, and he has promised that he will continue to lead and guide Redeemer to grow and to share the gospel with all nations. May he continue to mold and shape us so that we share Christ and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen.